Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With us here today on Tell Del is a very interesting story. A gentleman's been on the show before a couple of times, Gerald Bolster out of North Carolina. Gerald, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Del. I appreciate you having me on today. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let me pose a question. What two gentlemen who make a living for 17 years in the finance and trading world do to retire?
Trick question?
It's a trick question. Go ahead. Take a shot at it. What did you do for a living for 17 years?
I worked on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I was taking orders from our trading desk from institutional traders and basically conveying that information to our stockbrokers who went out and executed it in crowds, and played the middleman role for quite some time. But it was a fast-paced life, very hectic life. 2007, 2008 rolled around. A lot of the companies were merging. There were massive layoffs. I was out for a little bit in 2008 and then picked up work in the electronic trading space, doing customer support there. So, you know, basically still on Wall Street.
So if we were friends and we were out to dinner and or you were around just people you work with and you told people, you know, I retired a little younger than thought I would, they probably thought you figured out trading, probably did real well in trading, accumulated a lot of money. Would that be the truth of how you retired?
No, that wouldn't be the truth. You know, what I know now is I would tell these people that retirement is not an age. Retirement is a situation. Retirement is when your passive income exceeds your monthly expenses so that you don't have to go back to work and earn the W-2 income if you don't want to. It becomes a choice. And after I joined Lifestyles, I took all that capital that I saved for my entire life and started putting it to work at the beginning of 2018, and I've never looked back. I've just been on a mission to increase net worth, return on net worth, and my passive streams of income.
That's excellent, and I just want to pass a couple of ideas by you. Since, you know, you've been retired now for how long? You started Lifestyles in 2017. So how quickly did you accumulate enough income or cash flow to be able to quit working full-time?
2.5 years, Del. The interesting thing about my story is that when I moved from New York to North Carolina, I couldn't take the W-2 job with me. And just a few weeks after I moved into my house here, I went to a two-day seminar in Atlanta and basically taken a sabbatical, took the summer off, looked into real estate investing, looked into and buying a franchise. So I joined in the fall of 2017 and took all the education requirements at the end of that year and liquidated my 401k at the end of 2017, so I was ready to go for 2018. It took some more money out of IRA accounts then as well. With building about, I think, 8 or 9 pen streams of passive income, 2.5 years is the past few months or so is when I say I've retired.
So we're talking about, let's just get this out on the table for everyone, since I didn't bring it up in your intro. You've purchased 4 single-family houses. I believe you still own 3 of them. You've done 2 multifamily IROs, one of them you refinanced. Do you still own both of them?
So I own 1 multifamily IRO, and I'm under contract for a 2nd multifamily IRO that is slated to close next month.
I got you. Okay, so you refinanced the first one to get the money to be able to afford the second one?
Boom.
Excellent. Exactly. Which is a very interesting point you made here. I was reading on your resume. So you collected $260,000-some in 1 tax-free refinance transaction, and the side note next to it was largest single cash flow transaction you'd ever had. Was it an amazing feeling to pull down $250,000 in 1 transaction?
I've got goosebumps right now just talking about it. You know, it's just an incredible transaction to be able to do that in just 26 months of ownership by following the map you provide, by, you know, taking rents from $480 a unit, two bed, one bath, up to now today about $680 a unit, 40% rent increase in 2.5 years, and be able to make these apartments real nice, create value for people, and to be able to take a hold of the submarket that I'm in and command that rent price, drive up income, and, you know, divided by the market correct cap rate there, really increase the value. I mean, the value of this property doubled in 26 months.
Man, that's
it's
amazing.
An incredible feeling.
That is. You know, it doesn't matter what level, what year, or how old you are. You know, when I did it when I was 30, it just felt incredible. If I do it today, it still feels incredible. There's nothing like that massive capital gain pop that you get from a refinance, especially tax-free. That's just mind-boggling type situation. You know, when you sell something, you've got there's a little love-hate there, right? You go, oh, man. I hate to give it up, the cash flow and everything, but man, look at the capital gain. And then they hit you with the taxes, and then you sigh and go, okay, all right, so it wasn't as great. Now they took some of it away. But a refi is just all pure love and joy. You keep the property, you keep the cash flow, you get cash, and you don't pay taxes. To me, that's like a Christmas present. You know what I mean? It's Santa Claus coming
100%.
Down the chimney. No doubt.
100%. Yeah. You know, I feel like I've heard Curtis talk about this. He likes to redeploy his proceeds just about 30 days or so after a refinance. And I'm on track to do this about 3 months after the refinance transaction. Funny that, you know, the closing, the refi closing took just about 15 minutes or so. And soon, right after, I went to a property tour for the property I'm under contract right now. That property is about 3 hours from my house. And, you know, the closing office was an hour and a half away. And I said, I'm halfway there. Why not go take a look at this property? And it's a very good-looking investment. So, you know, they say things happen for a reason, and now I'm under contract and looking to close very soon.
That's excellent. Yeah, I just want you to realize out there, listeners, that I'm 64 years old, and I spent yesterday and today working on deploying my capital and reinvesting in different places to continue to try to re-leverage and raise the value and the cash flow that comes from it. So it's something that's going to go on forever. But let's talk about that as going on forever. And I'm reading a book that I've just started, which is about aging and so forth. And it's saying that, you know, aging is really, if you're going to do it successfully, you have to turn around and turn it into your battle. You get up every day and your job now is to live and to stay alive. And I'm thinking, well, that's really easy for me. I don't have a job. I don't have to make any money. Of course, I got some businesses I got to follow up on. But, you know, it's two or three different things that are all really important. And I want to cover them with you and how you relate to them now as you see life. One of them was when I was talking about the three rules that I live by. Rule number one is never lose money. As someone that played the market or was actually a part of the market and saw fortunes won and fortunes lost, how do you feel about the security of your position now that you're in real estate?
I feel a lot more secure now than I did back when I was a stock investor. I mean, just truly speculative investments. You don't have any insurance on your stock if the market crashes, and you can't leverage your investment either. You have to put 100% down to buy that stock, which is, as you know, in real estate is completely opposite, 20% down, 25% down. And God forbid you have a flood or a fire, your insurance covers it and you can sleep at night. But there's a lot of people out there right now who are not sleeping being invested in the stock market.
Yeah, it's like even with the COVID situation, you brought up here on your notes that COVID hasn't dismantled your business at all. It hasn't mine either. And most of the people I know, I don't know too many people. In fact, I'm trying to think of anybody that COVID has really hurt that wasn't already had some problems by poor management. But you're not really struggling with the COVID, huh? And you only got 30 seconds to answer that.
No, I've been stable throughout the COVID situation. There have been people moving out, but that presents opportunities to, you know, get rehabs done and make readies as well. So there's another chance to increase income, and there's been rental demand too. So that is positive. Vacancies are not going on for too long.
That's excellent. And as you work through this thing, we come back from break here. Let's talk about what you did to that one to make it go up that much in value, because I think people would like to hear that. We'll take a short break and be right back with Jared Bolster and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Jared Bolster out of North Carolina, and I don't even know where Cary, North Carolina is, but just call it North Carolina. And he's talking today about 2 apartment complexes, one that he's already purchased, managed, improved, refinanced, and took the money out and contracted upon a second one. He's an IRO investor, meaning he is an independent real estate owner. He takes care of his own businesses. We're going to get more into that in a second. Right now, we want to find out what it took to increase the value. You had a plan. What were your steps that you took to change the value of this thing?
Well, Del, the property was very tired when I took it over. I would say it was most likely mismanaged. There was a lot of deferred maintenance. The first project that I undertook after owning the property was replacing 84 windows on the property. This is a 16-unit property, so that was a big value add for the residents. And, you know, they're paying their own electric and, you know, helps with noise and insulation. So it's going to keep those electric bills down. So we banged that project out all in one. And then once the rehab started, you know, these are costing anywhere between, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 a unit. We're doing gray tin paint with white trim, adding new flooring, either, you know, vinyl flooring or LVT or carpet, depending if it was a first or second floor unit. We went with a black appliance package for the kitchen, new finishes for hardware and fixtures. We resurfaced the tubs to give it like a nice white shine to it. I mean, this real nice for the mamas out there. They love new kitchens and bathrooms. On more recent rehabs, we're installing ceiling fans in the 2 bedrooms, as well as peel and stick backsplash in the kitchen to help make it pop a little bit. And that's commanding a little higher rent than what we were getting last year. But the bathrooms, we also put in new vanities and low-flow toilets throughout the entire community. Because the property is master metered and I'm not doing rubs on the property, I'm trying to keep the water expense as low as possible and somewhat baking that rubs expense into rent. So that was everything we did on the property to date.
Why did you elect to bake it into the rent instead of going with an outright rub system?
Because the submarket, not many owners in the submarket were doing it, and I didn't want to set myself apart that way. I am using third-party management, and they said in the past they've seen problems with people getting two bills with their rent and their rubs, so I'd rather keep it as simple as possible as I try to upgrade the clientele from, you know, Class D to more of Class B type of resident.
Okay, that makes sense. When you look at this and you think about what you're doing, I'm just looking for a feelings answer here more than anything else. For someone that's out there that's had a job his whole life that was, I'm gonna use the term innocuous. In other words, you're running back and forth between guys, and you know you're working and you're trading and you're doing your job, and the end result is somebody benefits and somebody fails and whatever. But it's pretty innocuous. What does it feel like to be the purveyor of the business, the owner, the person that sets into motion the betterment of the lifestyle, the quality of these people that live in your establishment?
Best word that I could use is empowering. You know, all the responsibility now is on my shoulders. You know, I'm the leader of this community and of my business, so it all falls on me. You know, my job is to effectively reach out and help others, because if I can help enough people get what they want, then ultimately I'll be able to get, you know, anything I want. And it has to start somewhere. And it started with this 16-unit community. On the flip side, though, you think about what the financial world is, and trading is just so competitive, and people are stepping on each other trying to climb up to the top of the ladder. And thankfully for me, I never have to do that again.
You know, that's a good point, Jared. I always thought of that when I first started. I was so upset because I was a salesman that every time you'd become successful, you'd develop a sales team and you would have a good year. They'd either raise your quotas or steal your salespeople out from underneath of you or whatever. It never seemed like you'd get ahead. You know, it always had to be more. But once I started buying real estate, I could go put a person in a house, later an apartment, and say, okay, they're happy. I'm happy. Money comes in the mail, and that's it. There's no more stress. There's no more worry. It's done. And geez, I never got that completed feeling when I worked at a job. It was always like, what have you done for me today? It's never going to be different. And did you feel a stress reduction when you got out of working in that corporate field that was so stressful?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I could slice this up so many different ways, but I can definitely relate to you when you say it was so hard to get ahead. The last job I worked, which was for 8.5 years, my company was a child company to a parent. And, you know, if we had a very good year numbers-wise and the parent company did not, we did not get compensated fairly. You know, we'd be pulling them up to make the numbers even. So even, in a great year, our numbers would be coming down. So you never really were going to get ahead. And I looked at that and I said, this model is not going to change. The only person who can make a change is me. And I did. And I saw that living in New York with a high cost of living and a low quality of life and just terrible, terrible commuting. I said, we have to find someplace else to move so that my family can have a successful future, living someplace where the quality of life is high and the cost of living is much lower and a better climate than the Northeast.
You know, you just said a lot right there. I don't know if you realize that, but that's a whole piece of a seminar right there. You lowered the cost of living, increased the quality of your life, and when you look at it, you also lowered probably the tax rate you're in. But the bottom line is that you're in a situation where you can literally, you said it earlier, retirement is not a age. Retirement is a position, and the position is your income covers your expenses. And when your passive income covers your expenses, then you're pretty much free to do whatever you want to do in your life, whether that is go back out there and work in corporate America or dive in and buy yourself an apartment and, you know, start having the fun of rehabbing it and turning it around, whatever. But it gives you that freedom to be able to make those choices later on in life. And that's, it was very well said. In the case that you're in right now, where you've gone through the cycle and you pulled out the other side, how much time do you spend on the project that's, you know, it's done, it's there, it's sitting there right now? How much time do you spend? Well, in fact, you said that's management company, huh? You got third-party management?
Yes, I stay on top of the management company to make sure that they're doing what I ask. They do manage about 3,000 doors in the submarket. You know, I probably go out to the property once every week or two when there's not much happening. When there are rehabs going on and I've got people hired to do the work and maybe need to meet them and talk to them, I may go out there two or three times in a week. And that's fine. I mean, I do like things done right, but more often than not, I'm working on my business, not in my business. And as I get older and more tired and gray, that's exactly what I want to be doing, is stepping back and letting other people handle it and sort of let this go on autopilot than being
Absolutely.
There in the thick of it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Jared Bolster and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Jared Bolster out of North Carolina. Jared owns one apartment, about ready to close on a second apartment, and he's been retired for a year now, and actually 2018, did you say? When did you say you retired?
I would say the past few months, Dell, my first investment was February of 18. Just this year, the cash flow has really ramped up enough to push me over that threshold of monthly expenses.
Okay, now that's an interesting question. Let's go back, because we had touched on this slightly in the last segment, so let's clarify it a little further. When you say, Clara, when you say you replace your expenses, you cover your expenses, one of the things I've had conversations with individuals about many, many times is they come to me and go, you know, I don't see how I'm ever going to retire. You know, I make $100,000 a year, and, you know, I'm just not getting there very fast as I start to build up these cash flows. And I said, well, what you have to realize is you don't actually take home $100,000 a year. You actually only take home whatever you earned minus the taxes, which is income tax, federal income tax, state income tax, and Social Security and Medicare tax. And when I do the calculations with them and say, and also you contribute to a 401k, stop doing that, all of a sudden they realize, boom, I really only have to take and replace 60% of my total income. How did you have that realization early on or later on, and how did you work that into your calculations and knowing you were where it needed to be to walk away?
Absolutely. I took what my annual salary was and basically took 40% off the top and said, this is a number that I need to replace. Let's get started. And it started with the three single family properties in 2018, the IRO property in June of that year, and four passive investments now up to a total of six. They are all distributing now, which is how I've been able to clear that hurdle of monthly expenses. But yeah, you have to have a vision and understand, you know, that it's just going to get sweeter and sweeter over time. I mean, you've got the incredible tax benefits. You know, you're paying yourself a raise basically every month or every quarter if you have control of the real estate and can increase the rent and increase the value. So that was part of the vision and part of the plan. And ultimately, with that goal of the cash out refi, which, I mean, that was on my brain like every day for a year. Like, what do I need to do to get this done? And I just stuck to it like I've never stuck to anything in my life.
So that's another thing that people don't really understand. When they work for a living, they're hoping for a raise. And hoping they do a good job and they get a raise of some type in the future. Some do, some don't. But in retirement, most people think that those raises go away. In other words, whatever I was able to come up with at retirement, I start living off of what I have. I got Social Security, that's limited. But the way we do retirement, that's not actually the case. We actually can increase our income over and over and over again by just buying more real estate. And you've done that by going out and buying this additional property. How much more a month immediately will this new property bring you, and how much more a month will it bring you after you redo it like you've done this one? I'm sure you've made some estimates. I'm not holding you to them being true, but I'm just saying, what do you see? What's your thought process?
I can answer the first question a little bit more accurately, Dell. Now, this is a yield play. I mean, it's been completely rehabbed, and I like it because it gives me immediate cash flow of 8% on day one. Numbers-wise, it's going to be anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000 a month in my pocket monthly. It is a split with another partner, but my percentage will be $1,500 to $2,000. And it's a complete 180 from the property I have now, which was more of a deep value play, and I've pumped in about $150,000 CapEx. You know, it's good to see sort of both sides of the coin here. And like I said earlier, you know, I could have chosen to be patient and wait for maybe some discounted deals that come out next year. But I will have some money coming back in refinances. But I don't want the money to sit around for too long in this bank account after the refi. And the best play out there right now is this yield play, and I'm going for it. It's in a growing market. There's businesses coming here. There's rents are increasing here. And I'm going to be able to take advantage of both the natural appreciation and some forced appreciation over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's the other thing that myself had found and many other people have found in the past is that when you buy something that's predominantly a yield play, you're thinking, okay, I'm just buying this one because it's going to pay me 8% or it's going to pay me 10% or whatever it's going to pay you, that's it. But that isn't really what happens, because over a period of time, there's natural appreciation. Over a period of time, there's forced appreciation, which is where you raise the rents or you find a way to control the expenses and you get your arms around that property and tighten it up. And all of a sudden you turn around one day and it's gone up couple thousand bucks a month. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So in rule number two, we say there must be cash flow, and you've produced enough cash flow from single family to multifamily to a second multifamily to be able to replace that earned income. Let's talk now about the third concept. You can't get rich slow. Let's think about what you've done net worth-wise since you started. Think of what your net worth was 2 years ago and what your net worth is now.
It's doubled in 2.5 years, Dell, through real estate investing. And this would not be possible working the day-to-day job, the daily grind, hoping for a raise, kissing your boss's butt. It's just not going to happen, and people need to understand that. You need to take control of your life and control of your money, not hand it over to a financial planner, and learn how you can find ways to effectively create a better life and increase your income.
So you're sitting out here now knowing that you have total control of your future because you can continue to grow as much as you'd like. You said the wife was also retired. What was she doing before and what is she doing now?
She was working part-time at a school as a part-time teacher assistant. With COVID and everything happening, you know, with schools, she thought it'd be best to just take the year off and stay home since my two sons are doing virtual learning right now. So she has potential plans to go back next year. We've got a vaccine and things have somewhat normalized. But the nice thing is she has a choice. She doesn't have to go back if she doesn't want to. If we want to travel more, we can travel more. If we want to, you know, buy more real estate, we'll buy more real estate. And, you know, if we want to self-manage, we'll self-manage. So we have choices. We have options. And when you're a W-2 employee, you're very limited. You have the scarcity mindset, and you don't have options like you would as a real estate investor.
So the concept is not the money, it's the lifestyle is lost on a lot of people because, especially where you come from, I mean, New York, the stress, the demand to live up to the Joneses, the stress of the type of job you had, it's never enough, it's never enough. And then all of a sudden you realize that, hey, we have enough income to survive, we have known future income, we know we can grow that income, so we don't have to worry about any of it anymore. You buy back your time, you can spend time with your kids, you can spend time with your wife, your family. Yet you still have all the rights to go back to work if you or she wanted to. I mean, that's not so much how much money you made out of doing this, but more the quality of lifestyle you developed. What do your friends and family think about you taking these risks? Anybody say anything?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, they saw we moved away and we moved, you know, where we know basically nobody. There were only a couple families we knew when we moved here, and we weren't very close with them. But we did it for our own family's future. And, you know, at the time, I didn't know I was going to be a real estate investor, Dell. At the time, I thought, hey, I'm going to find a job right here in Raleigh, 20 minutes from where I live, and I can cut my daily commute to 1 hour a day instead of 3 hours a day. That was the plan. And that never happened. I don't think I went on one interview in the entire time during through that process of coming here. And I don't know if I'll ever go on another interview again here. But the point is, I'm happier now. There's really little to no stress. I'm not running for trains anymore. I'm not trying to, you know, get to work on time and say, hey, you know, being afraid of what people will think of you if you show up 5 or 10 minutes late. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, now I have total control and I don't have to worry about those things that the majority of people worry about.
You've only got 30 seconds, actually less than that, so I don't know if you even asked this question, but we'll just throw it out there. Anybody ever give you any grief for leaving a good job and a real solid life?
Yeah. They're like, well, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, I'm just tired of this stuff. I got to find a new place to live, and that's, you know, going to be more beneficial to my life and to my family's life.
Excellent.
And that's exactly what I did.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we're going to take one last break here. We'll be right back with Gerald Bolster and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With us here today is Gerald Bolster, and he's from North Carolina. Gerald has purchased 3 single-family houses and 2 apartment complexes and 6 passive deals. And by the way, if you don't know what a passive deal is, that's where he's invested with somebody else in their apartment complex where they operate, and he's just a passive investor, but he gets his share of the return as a partner in the deal. So he's done quite well. I want to talk to you now, Gerald, about the last deal, the one you're purchasing right now, and tell me, well, you already did tell me what you liked about it. You liked it because it's a yield plan. And so as you look at the situation here, do you plan to make changes on that? I mean, or just leave it the way it is?
For now, I'm going to leave things the way they are. I am pretty happy with current management that's in place. They took over management last year in December when rents were going for about $600 a unit. And they've taken rents up to an average of $1,100 a unit.
Whoa.
It's an 11-unit property, yes. I walked the unit physically last week with the 2 property managers and was happy with their knowledge and, you know, their communication with the residents on what they're doing. You know, I'd like to keep them on for 6 months and see how they do, you know, under my ownership. And take it from there. If they've done a good job, I'll keep them. If not, I'll look for a competitor in that Charlotte MSA submarket.
You said there was somebody else who was partnering with you. Are you a lead investor in this deal or just partners in a deal?
I'm just partners in a deal. I needed someone to help fill a liquidity gap. And I actually had a partner who was non-lifestyles who wound up backing out of where we were going to form a 50-50 partnership. And so was scrambling a little bit last week, but you know, I do have my network at Lifestyles, and I did find someone who's got a very proven track record and has decided to come in as a minority partner. And I'm not going to name any names, but I'm sure you know him. We're going to go in on this. He's going to fulfill the liquidity that I need to get this deal done. I'm not taking an override, and we're going to let this thing operate. And what's really great about this market, believe it or not, I was talking to one of the lieutenants in town last week. And he talked about the location of this property. It's in very high demand right now. Tons of tax dollars and businesses are moving to this area. There's a technology research triangle that's in the midst of being built. Private university, walking steps from the community. There's a lot of good things happening right now. And this guy said, if I had the money to invest, I would right now. But he doesn't have the money. He's a lieutenant. So it just made me feel very comfortable that I'm, you know, investing in the right place. In addition to that, he said he sits on a lot of boards in town, so he knows what's going on. He's got a good feel for the market, and that, to me, really validated me moving forward with this property.
So as you go into the second property here, what is your view of the future? What do you see happening in your life? Do you have a short-term, mid-term, long-term plan? Obviously, we've talked about the short-term one. What about the mid-term and long-term?
Well, one of the shorter-term plans here is by the end of next year, at the end of 2021, is to grow my cash flow to $10,000 a month passive income. You know, that 5-digit level to me is a milestone type, and I know I'll get there. It'd be great if it could be sooner, but I've set that as my goal, the end of next year. More longer-term, I'm looking at growing my portfolio to 100 units as an IRO. In 6 years, that would put me at age 48 to own 100 units. And hopefully it's only between, you know, no more than 4 properties. 3 would be fine. And just over time, just exchange when one property has run its course, when it's completely rehabbed and it's ready to be sold, it will be exchanged into a bigger, better cash flow producing property. And that's my goal over the next 6 years is to do that.
Your children, what ages are they?
They are 10 and 7.
Have you been able to pass anything on to them at all about business or about real estate at all yet?
I've tried a little bit. I know that, you know, I will give them some, they know about some words, and they ask, hey, Daddy, like, what's our net worth? I'm like, I don't know if I should be telling you that yet, son. You need to grow up a little bit more before I don't want them going around telling his peers what's going on yet. I think he needs to become a teenager. But what I have thought about is, you know, taking money from their custodian accounts and just totally liquidating it and putting that amount that they have into this deal, and then they will get a return each month, and they will see how that snowball effect will happen. Their cash flow will build up from their investment, you know, their tiny little, you know, investment from a bank account into income producing property. And I think that is like seeing the numbers and seeing how it works is going to be effective education for them. And then they'll start asking questions and then I'll have the answers ready for them.
I think that's an excellent idea. Actually, I've turned a lot of the people that I've run into that have had great results with their kids, just start them on something. You know, they buy them, quote unquote, a house. Obviously, a kid can't own a house, but they'll buy a house and say, this one's yours. And you got to go over there with me when we collect the rent. And you got to be with me when we pay the mortgage. And, you know, they just get them used to the processes and the accounting of it to start with and the thought process of a tenant owing you rent and the whole bit. And I've seen that work out well. I've had other people buy them into apartment complexes. I was looking at one family the other day. I was looking at a prospectus of one of the deals I'm in, looking at the balance sheet, and I saw this one family had three different family trusts in that deal. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, they're really into it for their kids, right? You know, this
right.
You know, I think they had a family trust for each kid they might have gotten from their grandparents or something like that, you know, and they're all in there. Three different family trusts, you know, were invested in this deal, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you sharing your story with us again for the third time. Look forward again to hear the next part of your story down the path. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Del. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. For the rest of you now, remember this. Jared, myself, the rest of the people at LifeStyles, we don't do this for a little money. We do this for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.